When the clock struck midnight on August 15, 1947, two momentous births occurred simultaneously: the independent nation of India and Celine Sanai, the narrator of this extraordinary tale. "I had been mysteriously handcuffed to history," Salim tells us, his personal fate inextricably linked with his country's destiny. Born with a face that resembles the map of India, complete with a cucumber-shaped nose pointing south, Salim enters the world as Prime Minister Nehru declares India's tryst with destiny. But beneath this auspicious beginning lies a secret. A midwife named Mary Pereira has switched two babies at birth, giving the poor baby a life of privilege and condemning the rich-born child to accordions and poverty. This fateful switch establishes the novel's central question: are we defined by blood and birth, or by the stories we tell about ourselves? Like India itself, cobbled together from disparate princely states, languages, and traditions, Salim's identity is built on hidden contradictions, magnificent dreams, and a foundation that isn't quite what it seems. The story begins long before Salim's birth, with his grandfather Adam Aziz examining a young woman named Nasim through a perforated sheet. For 3 years, he treats various ailments, seeing only isolated parts of her body through a 7-inch hole. This fragmented courtship brilliantly foreshadows India's coming partition, a nation that will be known only in pieces, divided by religion, language, and class. When they finally marry, their relationship quickly reveals fault lines that transform them into different, stranger beings. The perforated sheet becomes the first of many recurring symbols, objects that accumulate meaning as they pass through generations. It represents not just the fragmented way we come to know others, but also the incomplete nature of memory and history. How do we piece together a coherent identity, personal or national, from fragmentary, often contradictory parts? Imagine trying to understand someone by seeing only disconnected glimpses through a hole. Isn't this how we experience both history and each other? Through partial views that we struggle to assemble into something meaningful. On his 10th birthday, Salim discovers an extraordinary gift: telepathic powers connecting him to all 1,001 children born during the first hour of India's independence. These midnight children possess magical abilities proportional to their proximity to the midnight hour. Through his telepathic All India Radio, Salim creates the Midnight Children's Conference, a mental parliament where these extraordinary children gather nightly. This supernatural assembly represents the diverse potential of the new nation, bringing together children of all religions, languages, and social classes. Yet even in this magical space, the same divisions that plague India soon emerge. Two children born exactly at midnight possess the greatest powers: Salim with his telepathy, and his counterpart Shiva with his deadly powerful knees. Their rivalry establishes the novel's central conflict, as Shiva, named for the Hindu god of destruction, represents a darker vision of India's future. While Salim believes in purpose and meaning, Shiva espouses a brutal philosophy. What thing in the whole sister-sleeping world got reason? Their clash mirrors competing visions for India's future: idealism versus materialism, hope versus cynicism. Throughout the narrative, Salim's identity undergoes constant fragmentation and reconstruction. His appearance physically embodies the nation, while his fragmented sense of self mirrors India's identity struggles. This fragmentation becomes literal when a sinus operation costs him his telepathic powers, followed by amnesia during the 1965 Indo-Pakistani War. Struck by his mother's silver spittoon, he becomes the Buddha, a human tracker dog for the Pakistani army with no memory of his past. His identity crisis peaks when Mary confesses to switching babies, revealing Salim as the biological son of a poor street musician's wife and the departing Englishman Methwold. The Muslim child of privilege, celebrated as India's symbol, is actually the illegitimate son of a Hindu woman and an Englishman, while his rival Shiva, raised in poverty, is the true Sinai heir. This parentage tangle demonstrates how identity emerges not from blood or birth, but from experience and narrative, from stories told about us and the history we embody. The novel darkens as it chronicles India's slide from democratic idealism into authoritarian control under Indira Gandhi, referred to only as the widow. During the emergency period of 1975-1977, Saleem reveals the widow's secret campaign to destroy the Midnight's children. Imprisoned together, the magical children undergo not simple sterilization, but complete ectomies, operations that irreversibly remove their reproductive organs and magical abilities. The final horror comes when Saleem smells their removed parts being fried with spices and fed to street dogs. This brutal episode transforms the novel's magical realism into pointed political allegory. The Midnight Children, with their diverse backgrounds and supernatural gifts, represent the pluralistic promise of Indian democracy. Their sterilization symbolizes Gandhi's attempt to neutralize opposition and impose a single vision on India's multiplicity. Haven't we all witnessed how power tends to crush diversity in favor of uniformity? The persecution of the Midnight Children represents the betrayal of India's founding ideals, plurality, democracy, and tolerance, in favor of centralized control and personality cult. In the novel's final section, Saleem works at a pickle factory owned by Mary Pereira, creating 30 special blends containing not just fruits and spices, but memories, dreams, and ideas. Each jar represents a year of India's post-independence history, carefully preserved through his distinctive combination of ingredients and techniques. Memory, as well as fruit, is being saved from the corruption of the clocks, he explains. This act of preservation through pickling becomes the novel's central metaphor for storytelling itself. Like pickles, stories preserve experience but also transform it, adding spices, altering flavors, creating something new from raw materials. The process mirrors how memory works, some elements enhanced, others diminished, the final product both preservation and transformation. Saleem acknowledges imperfections in his pickle-preserved memories, but defends his narrative. It happened that way because that's how it happened. His pickle jars stand ready to be unleashed upon the amnesiac nation, combating the tendency to sanitize the past. Don't we all engage in this pickling process with our own memories, preserving some moments while allowing others to dissolve into forgetfulness? As the novel concludes, Saleem's body begins to crack and disintegrate, mirroring fractures in both his personal history and India's collective memory. Approaching his 31st birthday, the same age as independent India, he senses his imminent death. Yet his legacy continues through his son Autumn, born with enormous elephant-like ears, precisely when Gandhi declared the emergency. This next-generation Midnight's child, whose first word is abracadabra, represents both continuity and transformation. The novel ends not with resolution, but continuation, as Saleem imagines being trampled by India's multitudes, the crowd without boundaries growing until it fills the world. The same fate he foresees for his son. This open-ended conclusion reflects history as cyclical rather than linear. There is no escape from recurrence, Saleem observes, noting how patterns repeat across generations. Yet within these recurring cycles, variations emerge, new possibilities alongside persistent challenges. Like India itself, Saleem's story ends not with neat closure, but with ongoing transformation, preserved through storytelling against the corruption of time.